Welcome to episode 489 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. 2 weeks again. We keep on missing a beat.
No, it's all my fault. My life is crazy right now. It's mostly work. It's not mostly work.
It's work.
It's not just work. That's for sure. It's not. We'll get to some of that later when we get to what I'm sure will be very interesting, what's going on in our entertainment center section.
At least
somewhat interesting from someone. We have a little bit of listener feedback here. It's actually a listener. It's Henry. Henry's written into us a lot in the past. And this time, it took him writing into us twice, I think, before we actually decided to talk about this one on the show. And not because we ever choose to ignore emails or things like that, because we did reply to him. The first time around, we were like, Henry, I'm not so sure about this device and this thing that you're interested in. It's not even on Kickstarter yet. So it's really, really not real. So at least wait until it's on Kickstarter.
And now and it now, is.
Yeah, so now it's on Kickstarter. And this thing is called Dabby. And it's, and maybe you can do a better job of describing it than I can, but essentially, it's kind of like a tablet, computer that's sitting in a vertical mount. So you set it on your TV and it's facing directly, or set it on your coffee table, and it's facing directly at you. And it also has a voice assistant inside of it with a bunch of AI. They call it AI, and allows you, well, and there's another hardware piece that connects to your TV. So they're all on the same Wi-Fi. The big Dabby tablet thing, which is, I don't know, what do you think that is? Like 8-inch tablet? I'm not sure if it said.
I don't even know if it's 8 inches, but still, let's assume, and I'm not saying this accidentally, the size of maybe, I don't know, an Echo Show.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a Google Nest Hub. Yeah. Or I don't even know the name of that thing anymore. Anyway, that thing is sitting on your coffee table. It's talking over your wireless network to a small dongle that's plugged into your TV or multiple TVs. And you just tell it things like, hey, Dabby, I want to watch Stranger Things. Now, that's a really easy one because it knows Stranger Things is only in one place, but it finds it and it automatically starts playing it on your TV. And there's a second screen experience going on the tablet thing. Now, that's not that hard to do, really. What starts to get more interesting is when you ask it harder questions. Like in their video, it shows them asking a question like, show me the movie with Charlie Chaplin dancing in the rain or something like that. And it knows exactly what it is, finds it on a free streaming source, and starts playing it. That's a cooler use case. And it works with lots of sources. Like they basically say it works with all of the sources. It's not like it's just Netflix or Hulu and YouTube. Like they even mentioned like Twitch and Instagram, and the list of sources was just scrolling for a while. And they don't talk at all about the setup experience, whether you've got to log in with all, you know, into every single one of those sources, or if it just kind of figures it out.
Right.
So probably logging into a bazillion sources for this all to work. But in theory, it's the most powerful voice control remote thing for your TV that would also have a touchscreen tablet for allowing you to do second screen type things like viewing lyrics or the cast or having scrub bar control on the touchscreen instead of your remote and things like that. And this thing is going to be about $250, I think. So it is a Kickstarter. It's a funded Kickstarter at this point, and it's actually still open. So I think you could still get in on this if it sounds really interesting to you.
Yep.
It sounds super interesting to Henry. Is it super interesting to you, Richard?
I have a hard time not just, I don't know, crapping all over this thing. So I feel like this was a really cool idea 2-ish years ago. But like we were just saying, the Nest Hub and a Chromecast kind of invalidate this thing. And I know it probably doesn't do everything that this can do, but it's a screen with a touchscreen that has the ability to cast media to your television through a dongle over the air or through whatever services that you have. And you know how much that costs right now? I was just at Micro Center last night. You know how much a Nest Hub costs? $74.
Whoa.
That's how much a Nest Hub costs right now because they're clearing out inventory for the next generation products.
Wow.
So $200 and some for a seemingly very similar product. And if it is significantly different from that, then Henry, help us understand what we're not seeing here, because I'm just not seeing how it's significantly different from that solution.
I think the significant difference is a lot more, theoretically, a lot more sources, but maybe not. And the AI functionality, so that you can say, I want to watch this sort of thing.
Okay,
and
but I mean,
it just finds it.
Some random startup out of nowhere with $150,000 at their disposal is going to come up with an AI better than Google. Give me a break. And I know AI is accessible now. You can get a Kubernetes service and like set something up on your own on one of these cloud infrastructures, but I just don't see how anyone is going to beat Google at this game.
Well, but I think you're ignoring the fact that for AI to be done well, it still needs to be fairly targeted at what it's doing. Like, it's really easy to make an AI model that can tell the difference between a puppy and a mop, or, you know, things like that. And like, is this a person or is this not? But when you're just saying somewhat random sentences and turning it into a video source, a video content, I don't know. Maybe they do have a chance at doing that better than Google is.
Maybe. I will be interested to see it. As is always the case, we typically don't cover stuff until it's real. So let's see if we end up talking about this when it's an actual product available to the public.
Right. Exactly.
Like I said, you know, I feel bad because I know he's excited about this. I just feel like it's too late. This week I received another update about the assistant-enabled alarm clock that I ordered on Kickstarter 2 years ago. It's now irrelevant, again, because of the Nest Hub.
Right. That is the problem with Kickstarter.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to get brand new product off the ground when you're just a small company.
It does. Absolutely.
Our featured story tonight is actually something that sounds a little bit more like something that would go in the what's going on in our entertainment center section, because it's hands-on time with a brand new product. And we're really excited about this stuff. It is the new gear from our friends over at Silicon Dust.
Yeah, so we have our hands on the new HD Home Run Scribe Quattro and the HD Home Run Servio. And just today, the day that we're recording, I actually installed the Scribe Quattro. So review units are out and we have ours. And I replaced my existing HD Home Run Connect Quattro by simply unplugging it. Disconnecting the Ethernet, disconnecting the cable, plugging in the new Scribe Quattro, reconnecting the Ethernet, reconnecting the cable, and suddenly I have DVR service. Like, seriously, I had to do nothing.
That's awesome.
All I did was replace it. It automatically found my HD Home Run Prime. It has an over-the-air tuner on it, four over-the-air tuners on it, and the DVR service built into it, and it just worked automatically just by plugging it in. I did friggin' nothing.
That's so smart.
It's crazy. There's something I'm a little bit confused about. I know that you have to pay for the DVR service after the first month.
No.
So, well, hold on. Normally, you don't get an enormous amount of free time on DVR service when you buy one of their devices. You just get like a certain period of time. They actually include a year's worth of DVR service with this device and with the Scribe.
Right.
Sorry, and with the Servio, which is the storage device. We also have one of those to test, which I have not hooked up yet. And those are cumulative. So that's basically 2 years of service overall. However, what I don't understand is I didn't have to do anything. Like it just, DVR stuff just started working. Like it doesn't even ask for an account or I don't understand, but it just worked. So it's kind of magic.
It is. And it kind of feeds into that whole sort of magical ecosystem that just works with HD Home Run. Like one of the things that I love about the HD Home Run devices is you just walk up to any computer on your network, open up a web browser and type my.hdhomerun.com. Just go to that website.
I never did that before. That blew my mind.
Isn't it awesome?
It just saw my devices.
All of your devices, all the settings.
Gave me links to be able to upgrade the firmware on both, which worked seamlessly. By the way, my HD Home Run firmware, 3 years old. But glad that I updated that. It was crazy easy.
Yeah. Yeah. So much better than the days when we were using that clunky old Windows desktop app and all that stuff. Yeah, it's all just right through the browser. It's great.
Yep. Now, the only things that I have seen as a negative so far are, and I didn't realize this, I didn't realize they still don't have a native Apple TV app because I just use my tuner through Plex on Apple TV and didn't realize that they're still dependent on channels as their primary means of getting Apple TV users access to DVR and TV service. So that surprised me a little bit. The other thing was that when I went to record a season of something, it doesn't do a good job of figuring out what a season is. And I can't figure out if there's some place that I can tune a season recording. Because when I said, okay, I want to record all of the upcoming episodes of, I think it's called Race for the Moon, the new PBS series about the Apollo mission. It recorded every instance of it that's available, regardless of whether it was repeat, regardless of how many different channels it was on, regardless of whether it was HD or SD or whatever. It put all of them into the recording queue, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand how that doesn't seem like it's good, but I can't find a place where I can refine that a little bit.
Yeah. So it's been a little bit since I've used that user interface, and I know they've changed some of it since then. So I might be describing things that aren't quite the same anymore, but there used to be a section in the UI called Task, and that's where you managed your scheduled recordings. And in there, you did have some limited control over things like new and rerun. But I don't remember. I mean, we've looked at so many DVR pieces of software over the years.
Absolutely.
I can't keep them all straight, whether it had new and rerun or just this channel or things like that. But I know it had some of that stuff, and that's where that all lived.
All right. Well, I'll have to check that out and see if I can refine that a little bit. But I was really impressed with it. And normally I have the news on behind me on the TV. And today I just had a little window up, a little HD home run window on my computer, just watching the news while I was working on show notes and stuff like that. So yeah, it's nice. It's really great. Nice.
You can walk around the house watching it on your tablet or your phone. It's cool. I like it.
Indeed, indeed. So really impressive first impression. And I'm looking forward to, you know, giving that more of a try and see how that experience compares to what I'm currently experiencing through Plex.
All right. So let's move on to our video news this week. And we're going to start with Amazon and Google playing nice.
What?
Yeah, I know. I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, this really is a follow-up to the story that we talked about in April when they first started playing nice together again. And this is basically what they said they were going to do is finally starting to happen. So Amazon Prime Video is now actually working with Chromecast and most Android TVs, Android TV boxes, and most Chromecast enabled TVs and other things like that. For a regular Chromecast, just Chromecast puck, plug that into your TV. That definitely works with Amazon Prime Video and some TVs that have Chromecast built in. It's working there. Although on some, it already worked for a while now. So your mileage may vary, but the gist of this is you're going to be getting Amazon Prime Video on your Chromecast devices. So that's great news. That's just great news. The opposite is also partially true. And by opposite, I mean Amazon, that Google is being friendlier to Amazon. They're bringing YouTube, and I kind of think this might actually be a bigger deal. YouTube is coming to Fire TV devices. So like your Fire TV stick, Fire TV televisions, that sort of thing, finally getting a YouTube app back in their store for the first time since 2017.
Well,
that's when this feud really started.
Yeah, that's true. However, there has been a third-party YouTube web wrapper that has been available on Fire TV in the meantime. And I think it would be really funny if once YouTube is available for real on the platform, I end up finding that I don't like it as much as the experience that I've been using for the last 2 years, which is basically the web experience.
That web experience sucks on a TV.
It's better than I would have expected more recently, you know? I don't know. But anyway, yeah, so we're going to get that. But we still don't have the thing that I think is the most important, because there isn't a substitute here, and that's that you can't still watch YouTube videos on your Echo show.
Right. And that's true. It's not there yet. But do we have any reason to think that it won't be coming soon?
Well, I don't know. As long as they've decided to, you know, stop being jerks to each other, then maybe it will be coming soon.
Yeah, I tend to think that it probably is coming soon.
All right. I hope so. All right. Well, next up, we have some news about the Warner Media service that we have talked about in the past. Just like everybody else, Warner has to have a service of their own to showcase their branded content, and they are convinced that people care about Warner content. And I don't know, other than, like, I'm hard-pressed to even think of anything right now.
Batman.
Batman
is what I
okay.
think of.
Okay, all right, DC Comics. DC Comics. DC Comics and Pinky and the Brain. I can't really think of all that many things that I know of as distinctly Warner Brothers, and here lies the problem. But they think, like Disney, that they should be out there too. So they had announced previously that they're going to come out with the service, and they have announced that it will be called, are you ready? Because the brand is important, right?
Absolutely.
Da, 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 HBO Max.
What? What?
So they already have HBO Go, and they have HBO Now, and those are not going away. Those will continue to run as they do now and serve the markets that they will, or that they have been. But now they're going to have HBO Max, and is it a direct-to-consumer play? It's going to be a little bit more expensive than what you would pay for HBO Now or HBO Go, which is $15. So maybe somewhere between $17 and $20 a month, something like that. It's going to include content from HBO. It's going to have original content that they're making just for this service, because that's what everybody's doing, and they have to do it too. And it's also going to be aggregating content from a bunch of different Warner properties like TNT and WGN and a whole bunch of other stuff. And it's even going to take stuff away from services like Netflix, which currently has the rights to Friends, but that's going to go away and it's going to come on to this new Warner Brothers service exclusively. So they're basically trying to do what Disney's doing with their own brand, and we're expecting to see this out there sometime next spring. This sound interesting to you, Josh?
No. So looking at this article, they also mentioned the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I mean, that's cool, but that's older and kind of more niche and less cool than Friends for sure. And they mentioned Pretty Little Liars, which at least is from this decade. there's not really, like, bringing CW shows onto your paid streaming thing. Like, isn't CW the network with the really terrible comic book TV shows that were all so bad that they just made all of their shows available for free everywhere on their apps?
Okay, now I'm really upset because I enjoy Arrow and The Flash. So let's not get all mean about that.
But I am speaking of the right place, right?
Yeah, largely. CW has a following. It definitely has a following. And it has its own app right now. So this would presumably pull all that content, and more importantly, the catalog of that content, into an app where you can get it without having to pay specifically for just CW stuff. So that's good. I mean, you know, I don't want to be completely negative about this. Obviously, Warner Brothers has a huge catalog of content. I just don't think that people are going to associate it with this stuff with the Warner brand. And so they were smart by naming it something that people do associate good content with, which is HBO. But what does HBO have to do with Friends?
Right.
What does HBO have to do with these other originals that nobody's seen before? I think the whole thing is going to be very confusing to consumers. So we'll have to see. I mean, it is a compelling collection of content overall. I just don't know that it's yet another service that people want to pay for.
I think the most important aspect of this we haven't even touched on yet, but the chat room, they're on it. They're, like usual, they are on it faster than we are.
What's that, the ugly logo?
It's the logo. is this X in Max, is it a really wide X, or is it a really tall X that they knocked over? Either way, it's dumb and looks awkward.
And you know what's really funny about that is that HBO and Cinemax are basically sibling premium networks, all part of the same family. And so that name is even a little bit more confusing because of that. I really don't get it. I wish everyone would just stop. Y'all, you're not Disney. Everyone can't be Disney.
You know, I'm starting to notice a trend here, though, Richard. This trend is, Richard says, everybody who's trying to beat the big guys should just give up.
I don't think that's really what I'm saying.
Well, you're saying that the Dabby should give up because they'll never beat Google at AI or casting, and that HBO should give up because there's no way they're going to beat Disney Plus. and
no,
everybody
no,
else
no,
should,
no, no, no. So I want to be really clear about something. I don't ever want to suggest that HBO should give up. I think that it is a fool's dream to believe that Warner has the brand recognition that Disney does that would be necessary to get a popular group of consumers, like a large group of consumers, to subscribe to this.
I agree.
So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. Meanwhile, speaking of unfortunate AT&T related stuff, DirecTV, DirecTV Now, and UVerse TV. UVerse still exists?
UVerse does still exist.
I didn't even know that.
I have UVerse Internet.
I didn't even know that that still existed. Apparently, are currently in a dispute with Nexstar, which owns a whole bunch of affiliate networks for ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC local stations. So in many areas around the country, and as far as I know, as of the time we're recording this, this has not been resolved yet, just don't have their local affiliate channels available anymore.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because it's all of them, right?
Right.
It's not,
well,
it's
I don't know. Like CW isn't there.
Okay, so you can't watch anything good. You can just watch Arrow. So, yeah, this is... It's kind of nuts to me that... It's all of them. Like it,
right.
Like we're used to seeing NBC or Fox, but not NBC and Fox and ABC and CBS.
Right. Right.
Man.
Yeah, this is messed up. This is completely messed up. And we're going to see more and more and more of this crap. I mean, didn't this recently happen? Well, yeah, this is basically the kind of thing that put HD home run premium TV out of existence.
Right. Yeah. And I think this happened, maybe it was just with one of them, but I know this happened with one of the other big streaming platforms. And I think it was DirecTV Now, which would kind of make sense given who this one is with.
Well, for some reason, I'm thinking, no, this is DirecTV Now. I'm thinking it was, what's the other big one that just had a price hike?
Well, all of them, but...
I'm thinking it was PlayStation View. I'm thinking that's where this happened. But in any event, this is affecting a whole bunch of different services. Now, the good news is that DirecTV is trying to fix this as best they can by trying to make temporary deals with Sinclair-owned stations so that they can at least have the major networks available, even if they're not the most immediate local stations for everybody.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I kind of get tired of reporting about these stories because they're just... Like, it's kind of commonplace now. Like, it sucks for the consumer, but it's become so common now that it happens with regular pay TV. It's happening with streaming TV. Now we're seeing it happen in bulk across lots of regions. Like, it's just, but it's the same thing. And it used to be that these would happen on one channel and would last for a week or two. And you might miss a couple of things, and then it would come back. But then they just started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Like NBC had one with one of the regional networks during the Olympics, and everyone missed the entire Olympics. Like people had to watch CBC and watch Canadian coverage of the Olympics.
Yeah, and there was a year, if I remember correctly, where this fell like immediately before the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And companies were scrambling to try and solve the problem before the Super Bowl. It's ridiculous.
At least with the networks, you have a chance, depending on where you live, at using an antenna, and then this is never an issue for you. But if you're not using an antenna, that's hard to say, then yeah, you're kind of just at the whim of these big companies battling it out.
Well, right. And I might also argue that maybe somewhere on the low end of 10 to 25% of humans understand how to change how they get their television from whatever service they already use to some antenna. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not necessarily the easiest thing in the world. Our listeners are smart enough to do it.
Of course they are.
Not everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to some gaming news. I actually forgot to add something to this, so I'm just going to try and remember it. No, that's not going to work. But we've got a little bit of Xbox news, not a ton here out of PlayStation or anything like that. But two interesting Xbox stories. The first one is that the July update for the Xbox One software has been made available, and there's really two main new features here. The first one is that there's a new feature called Play Later if you have Xbox Game Pass. As a very short reminder, Xbox Game Pass is the subscription service that gives you access to download and play from a catalog of well over 100 games, and you can just play them whenever you want. Sometimes all of that choice gets overwhelming, though, and you just want to be able to make a list of just the games I want to play, but maybe I don't want to install them all because games are enormous. So this Play Later feature is essentially like a wish list or a backlog of these are the Game Pass games that I want to play, so that when I'm ready to play my next game, I can just look at this much smaller list of games. And I think it's a really great idea. Like this type of organizational tool, it doesn't feel like it cost a lot for them to develop and to provide. But in terms of usability, it's a really nice thing to have. Because when you're talking about a library of 100, 150 games, there's a lot of stuff in there that I might want to play, but there's way more stuff in there that I probably don't care about at all. So I don't need to go and look at the whole catalog. I can go in there once, grab the titles that I want to add, and then when new titles are added, I can just quickly drop those into the Play Later list too. So I'm actually really excited about this feature. The other feature is some more commands and more functionality from Amazon's voice assistant within the Xbox. So yes, if you didn't remember, that's a thing as of the last few months. You can now set up your Xbox to be controlled by your Amazon voice assistant devices. And they've added some commands around, not surprising, Game Pass. So you can say things like, Madam A, or whatever you want to use for your call phrase, Madam A, what's new on Xbox Game Pass? And it'll show you or tell you. You can say, you can ask her slash it, what are my friends playing? And it'll tell you. So some cool features there. Plus they're adding support for more countries like Canada. Hey, our friends to the north, you're finally getting in on that action. So that's basically it for this update. This isn't like, you know, it's a July update. We're not going to expect a lot of really huge features here. But I think both of those are pretty nice little features. So very cool. I'm not cool using that Amazon voice assistant, but the Play Later thing I like a lot and will definitely be making use of.
Nice.
Our next gaming story is essentially a leak, I guess. I don't know if you call patent documents a leak, but Microsoft has been prototyping some Xbox controllers that are designed for mobile gaming. And so these are essentially controllers designed to be used with your phone or your tablet. Basically, think of an Xbox One controller that can be split in half, left and right, and you can slap the sides of, you know, those two halves onto the side of your phone or your tablet for playing games, especially games like Project xCloud. So you're streaming, you know, AAA games or whatever over the internet using a good controller on your phone or your tablet instead of having to use on-screen controls, which are not great for most gaming. They've clearly thought a lot about this and some of the problems that come along with this. Like, you know, we've seen lots of controllers that have weird hingy things that'll hold your phone above the controller. But that stuff all gets bulkier and whatnot. This kind of works on anything because they come apart and just, I don't know, they don't say how it connects on the side, but it does. The grips, the long parts that come out of the bottom sides of the controllers that just make them more comfortable to hold, those are actually detachable, which I think is actually really smart. If you're playing on a phone, you want those grips because that's what you're actually holding on to. But if you're playing on a tablet, maybe that's not what you're holding on to. Maybe you're really holding on to the tablet and you're just reaching your thumbs up for everything else. The other use case is that because they come apart separately, they can also be used completely individually in separate hands with like AR or virtual reality settings. So, you know, every virtual reality system now, it seems, has independent hand controllable controller things for playing games. And this would work for that. So it's multi-use in theory, assuming that all of that actually works. The only real downside is how well will the way these are designed to work actually work on a tablet or a phone. And the reason I say that is because they slide over the edge of the phone. And in these pictures, these are showing very old devices. These are clearly really old photos. The phone in the photo is a Lumia. It's not like what? It's a Samsung Galaxy S10.
No
it's
way, really?
Yeah, sure is. It's
why
a Lumia.
Come on, really? Like, what?
If it's from 3 years ago,
yeah,
then that's somewhat reasonable, I guess.
But not today.
But not today.
Well, and unless you apparently work for Hawaii 5-0, because if you're on the Hawaii 5-0 task force, you still have a Lumia.
Right. Uploading your crime scene photos to OneDrive. Yeah. So the other problem with using this on modern phones is we don't have bezels on phones anymore. So if this thing is going to slide over the edge of a phone, it's going to cover up a bunch of the screen.
Right.
So while this idea sounded really cool, I don't know how well this is actually going to work in practice. And I want it to work really well because I love this idea. I really love this idea.
Okay.
So I don't know.
So just you were saying this is a filing, right?
Yeah.
So this stuff sometimes never comes to be,
mm-hmm.
right? Sometimes it's experimental. Sometimes it is old tech and we're just kind of catching up on it. So I don't know. I wouldn't be holding my breath.
But it does make sense for Microsoft to be working on something because of Project xCloud.
Okay.
So
how about a stand? How about a little piece of cardboard that you can fold and just twist in one little... In fact, I think you can buy the... In fact, I think they give them away at conferences. It's a piece of cardboard. It twists sideways. You sit it down. You put your phone on it. And then you're good to go. I'm just saying.
This audio medium of podcasting doesn't do a good job of explaining the look that I just gave you, the glare that I just gave you for suggesting something so preposterous. How's that going to work on a bus, Richard? Come on.
It's not lappable.
No, it's not lappable at all. All right, let's move on. The last time we talked, we didn't know what the games with gold were for July. It's now July 9th, so you don't have a whole lot of time left to grab at least one of these. You do have until the end of the month to grab the best game of the bunch here, because all month long on Xbox One is the game Inside. This is kind of an indie side-scrolly platform It's kind of creepy and weird. Like, you don't really know what's going on while you're playing it until maybe until the end. It's probably a 3-ish hour experience, and it is so good. This is a fantastic game.
So you played this?
Oh, yeah. I played this when it first came out.
Okay, so knowing nothing about it at all, just from the title, I so wanted it to be about being in prison.
No, it's not about being in prison.
Oh, man. And you're like fighting all the other guys and trying to get out and escape. I mean, come on, that'd be good.
It's not you're not actually that far off, though.
Okay.
And I think you should actually try this game.
Hmm.
It's a lot easier than Ori and the Blind Forest, I'll tell you that.
Well, which is no 3-hour game, let me tell you.
Well, right. So you should try this, and I'm very curious to hear what you think and see how far you can get into it. The other game for Xbox One, July 16th through August 15th, is one that I've never heard of. It's called Big Crown Showdown. I don't know. This is some like $13. It's a free game. Let's just leave it at that. your Xbox 360 games. There's at least one here that is actually really good. I'll save that one for last. No, I won't, because let's go in order by month. The first half of the month, you get Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Maybe the best Castlevania game ever. This is an Xbox 360 game, backwards compatible. Very, very good game. You should definitely get this. And then the other one is Meet the Robinsons. Yes, the game based off of the Disney movie of the Robinsons. Sorry. So mostly these movie tie-in games aren't very good. And this is a kid's movie around a Disney movie that was okay.
It was cute. Come on.
I didn't see it. I really can't say much.
Okay, you don't get to judge then.
Well, if it was phenomenal, I probably would have seen it. We're not talking about Frozen here, right?
Fair point.
Okay, and then last time we did cover the PlayStation Plus games for July, but at the very last moment, Sony changed them on us. The last time we talked, you were going to get Horizon Chase Turbo, an arcade racer game, and Pro Evolution Soccer 2019. That is until the internet lost its mind.
Yeah, so as usual, so I have been watching a lot of my guilty pleasure
essentially
Big Brother.
Two sports games. What about the people who don't care about sports games? The internet cried. And
where's our free stuff?
Right. And the rest of them, the ones who are into soccer games, are like, I don't even think this is the most recent version of this game. I don't actually know. But if Pro Evolution Soccer numbers their games the way EA, like FIFA, does, this is actually an older version. So everyone is super mad. Sony hasn't said that that's why they made the change. They just said, we're making a change. It's now Detroit Become Human, the deluxe edition. Everyone wins here. I don't care how much you like soccer. Detroit Become Human was so good. So, so good. First party game, PlayStation 4 exclusive that came out last year. This is one of the games that we played on Story Players. It's the game that we couldn't stop talking about for Story Players. I think that episode ended up being over 3 hours long. I couldn't cut it any shorter because the game was so good. The episode was so good. You have to play Detroit Become Human if you have a PlayStation.
Nice.
All right. Well, that's it for all of our gaming news and for the rest of our news. So, Richard, it's been 2 weeks. What have you been doing in your entertainment center?
All right. As far as stuff that I've been watching, of course, Big Brother continues on. I continue to enjoy my guilty pleasure there. I mentioned previously that I had started season 5 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I binged that and watched all of it over the last 2 weeks and am now in the process of catching up on season 6. Yeah, I'm really disappointed with myself and frankly with everybody out there that this hasn't been receiving more hype than it frankly that it frankly deserves, because I think it is really, really good. And I feel like people forgot about this show. And that's a shame because it's been very inventive and fun and doing a lot of good character development. So that's been really cool. Watch a little bit more of Good Bones. I'll probably talk about that a little bit more in the future. I finished Good Omens. I mentioned that. That's a Neil Gaiman book that had been turned into a 6-episode series on Amazon Prime. And we enjoyed that. We watched that whole thing. And we also finished Sabrina Season 2, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Both of those kind of along the same lines, the whole good and evil thing. But that was also entertaining. And then I didn't actually watch it myself, but I have house guests and they were watching the World Cup final, the Women's World Cup, on my TV, presumably in 4K from Verizon Fios.
Whoa, I didn't even realize that was the thing.
Verizon Fios has 2 4K channels and they basically assign content to it as it's available. And it's one of those channels that normally says next up and right. tells you what's going to be playing, like, I don't know, maybe 2 days from now on the 4K channel at some time. And it's just been these games so far as I know. Now, I say presumably because I watched it on my TiVo Bolt, and our TiVo Bolts are, in fact, 4K capable, but I have no idea if they're actually capable of passing through 4K cable signals to the television.
That's a great question. I don't know.
I don't know either. So I'm going to follow up with our contacts at TiVo to see if we can get an answer to that. It was a really pretty picture. In fact, it was a rather surreal picture as I just kind of walked by a couple times and looked at it. It was kind of uncanny valley because it was, it looked so real. So maybe it was, or maybe it was upscaled. I don't know. I don't know. It's been a long time since we talked. And so one of the other things that happened, a big television event that happened, if you're in the political sphere, is the debates. And I watched all 4 hours of the debates. We already lost one of the candidates, so I guess they're doing their job. But
it's okay. We got a new one today.
We got a new one, but that's no surprise. I'm surprised he waited so long. It's interesting. It was actually really interesting. I'm glad I watched it. The two nights were very, very different.
Yeah.
So that was kind of intriguing. And along the political lines, I don't know if I've talked about this specifically on the show before or not, but a podcast that I have started listening to is called Talking Feds. And there are a number of reasons that I'm listening to this. One is that I live in the DC area and all this stuff is happening politically in DC. And so I'm kind of, I don't know, hooked, addicted, I don't know what the word is, on the news cycle. And this is a kind of a somewhat refreshing step back with former federal prosecutors in a roundtable format where they talk about whatever the, I don't know, latest upsetting political news is, but from a former federal prosecutor's perspective, like of what we know about these people and these cases and these courts, what's likely to happen here and what does this really mean? It's a really interesting breakdown of things. The host is fantastic. He actually makes appearances on MSNBC all the time. He writes op-eds, I believe, in the New York Times or Washington Post or something like that. Harry Lipman, I believe, is his name. And the other reason that I watch it or that I listen is that it's produced by my friends Jenny Josephson and Anthony Lemos. So all the reasons, and I thoroughly enjoy it and recommend it to anybody that's interested. They are actually recording this week, multiple episodes, 5 episodes live in DC downtown, which is why my friend Anthony is here and why Jenny is in town as well. And I'm going to be going tomorrow to tomorrow's episode, which is a panel of specifically of Republicans talking about like some of the challenges that the Republican Party are party is facing now, as the current administration is frankly challenging the Republican Party. So something that you may want to check out if you're interested.
Awesome. Very cool.
So that's it for me. How about you? I see one thing here, Josh. One thing. One.
One. One in 2 weeks. That's right. And it's not even a video game. Like, I haven't even turned on my Xbox in the last couple of weeks. That's how crazy it's been. I really don't remember for sure when I last played my Xbox or my PlayStation. It's been a little while. It's been really, really busy.
But you know, wait a minute, didn't you take at least one of those boxes with you on vacation?
I actually took both of them with me and then didn't play either of them.
Oh, wow.
Part of it was because the TV was like teeny, teeny tiny. It was like a 32-inch widescreen TV, and the couch was 10 feet away.
Far other side of the room.
Right, 12 feet away. It was far. Like, there was no way I was going to be able to sit on that couch and see what was going on in the games. So, no, I just played my guitar instead of my video games. So not a lot of video games here for me. I have been playing my guitar a fair amount. And I think maybe in that time I've watched one episode of Homeland. I haven't watched any movies. I've got a couple of audiobooks, but like none of it's fiction, so I don't know that anybody cares. I'm kind of boring right now. I've not spent a lot of time in my house. So yeah, which I think makes for an okay summer, but it's maybe not a great segment of this podcast. So that's it for me. Hopefully that'll change in the next week, because I do miss some of those things. Maybe I can glom a little bit off of our friend and fellow DMZ contributor, Joe D'Estasio. He told me yesterday that in preparation for its launch later this month, he and his wife started binging the first season of Veronica Mars. So Veronica Mars comes back to Hulu, the new series, I think it's July 25th. So at least by the end of the month, I will definitely be watching something, because I will be signing up for Hulu and then watching Veronica Mars.
Maybe I should binge that when I'm done with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. instead of catching up on Arrow.
Yes. Yes. and let me make it a little bit easier on you, or for anybody who wants to do this. You definitely want to watch season one. Like, I think all three seasons were good. Some people don't agree about seasons two and three. Ideally, what you would do, ideally you would watch absolutely everything. But if you don't have that kind of time, because season one was 22 episodes, I don't remember how many episodes seasons two and three were, but it's over 20 for the first one. And these are hour-long episodes.
Right.
There's also a movie that came out a few years ago, I think in 2013 or 2014, that at the time was the highest grossing Kickstarter ever. It's been surpassed since then. Yeah, they Kickstarted
totally it. Totally did.
And it was good. It was good. And it essentially takes place in between the original TV show and this new series. So I don't know for sure if there's a big tie-in, but it sure seems like there would be. So find the movie and watch it, which is, I think it's on HBO. So if you've got HBO, you can watch it there. Otherwise, you're going to have to like rent. I think Amazon has it for rental, or maybe only for purchase. It might be kind of dumb like that. It's not the most accessible thing, because it's not like on Netflix or something like that. But Joe said that it's on HBO.
Cool. I actually have it because I participated in the Kickstarter.
Oh,
and
nice.
The digital copy was what you got from that.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I've got it for the same reason. Yeah. Okay, cool. So that's it for what's going on in our entertainment center. And basically, that's it for the show. So if you want to get a hold of us, there's a lot of ways you can do that. If you don't want to hear me rattle all of them off, go to the website, thedigitalmediazone.com. It's where the show notes are for this show and all of our contact information, even if I don't say it all here. We're on Twitter, at Richard Gunther, at Josh Pollard, at DigiMediaZone, and on Instagram. Richard wants me to point out it's on Instagram and Facebook. Richard, you've been rolling out Home On episodes like crazy lately, and you had an awesome one this week.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, actually. We had our latest DMZ contributor, Jimmy Hawkins, on the show, and he was a great, incredibly knowledgeable guest co-host, and he shared a whole bunch of his experience and learnings from coming up on smart home technology. He wasn't a smart home guy before, and when he bought his new home, he started learning about it all, and he shares with us how he got into it and some of the things that he's been doing. So I think it was a fun episode. And then coming up, we have the editor, or I should say an editor from Architectural Digest, Katie Olson. And she is going to be talking with us about how homes and kitchens are changing in their design to accommodate smart technology.
Cool. Yeah, that most recent episode that is out there now, the one with Jimmy Hawkins, like if you're just getting into smart home or you're thinking about getting into smart home and you're wondering like, what can I do? This is a great episode to listen to because Jimmy has so many things that he's doing in his house and a bunch of ideas that I've never heard of or considered that are actually really good. It's not just a bunch of cheesy, silly stuff that a lot of people tend to do. He's got a bunch of really cool use cases there.
Wait, you don't mean that you don't like the scene where you walk in the house and it plays your favorite music station? Doesn't everybody have and want that?
Oh, come yeah. On. That was the prototypical example for a decade.
Right. Exactly. Home. And it's cool, but these are really practical ideas that we're talking about.
Yes. All right. Well, we do tend to do this show live. It's been a little bit of a mess lately. We are live, but the video is really acting up tonight. But we've at least got live audio tonight and a static image of our faces for you to look at. But most important part is you could hear the show and talk back with us through the chat room. We normally do this Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter to know for sure when that live show is going to happen, because it's a lot of fun and we love talking with you and you getting to be a part of the show. But that's going to do it for episode 489. He's Richard Gunther and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.